So, good morning, everyone. My name is Ben Matthew. Thanks a lot, Anand, for running us through the announcement. Let me just start with asking all of us, what does spending time with someone look like? How would you define spending time with someone? What are the few things that you would say makes spending time with someone possible? Conversations, okay. Listening, yeah, that's one of the most important things we struggle with. Anyone else? Any other ideas? Making time for the other person, yeah. So, I mean, this is right. I'll run you through a couple of things that we do as a part of spending time with others. When we want to spend time with someone, we spend all the time, a lot of time talking to them. We'll be texting them all the time. We'll be exchanging our thoughts with them. We'll be going to have meals with them. We'll be going to watch movies with them. We'll be going to festivals with them. We'll be spending a lot of time with them. And some of the other things that we do is we would share all that we are. We would share our fears. We would share things that we like. We would share our ambitions. We would share our deepest fears. We would share what we are ourselves with people that we want to spend time with. And some of the other things that we do, if it's a person that we love, someone we really love, we would want to know everything about that person. So we would want to, we try finding out about what they like, what their likes, dislikes are, and what is it that that person has in terms of views. We'd want to know a lot of things about them. But when it comes, I mean, these are all the things that we would do to spend time with people, to know them. But when it comes to God, we really struggle to spend that kind of time that we would do with someone that we love and someone that we want to know. I mean, for those like me, we'd find it hard to take out time to just read the Bible or pray. And when we do actually manage to take out time, we struggle to just concentrate. There are just so many things that come to our mind. Things about work, things about next movie we want to watch, next food that we want to eat, things that happened the previous day. Just random thoughts come into our mind when we sit down to spending time with God. And after listening to a church sermon or an inspiring talk, we actually will go back and take time out to read and pray, but for a day or maybe a week, and we're back where we were. And for the rest of us, we would spend a fixed amount of time with God every day. We would, irrespective of all that's happening around us, we have that discipline. But often it's another box to be ticked in our high priority to-do list, and which if we don't, we feel that which might piss off God, or things might happen that will be unfortunate, or things that we don't want might happen. So this is two sets of people that we all fall under. So to be honest, we are unable to spend time with God like how we would with the ones that we love, ones that we would want to spend time with. So let's look at that in detail. So why should we make time for God at all? Why should we spend time with God at all? So this is one of the passages that I stumbled upon in the Bible. This is John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5, which reads, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So here, vine is a metaphor which the word uses to talk about the world our hearts belong to. We find ourselves belonging to different worlds, worlds of career, worlds of music, worlds of art, family, friendship. There are different worlds that our hearts find a part of. And this passage here says that Jesus says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener." He says that Jesus, who is referred to as the true vine, is the only true world that one can be a part of. Which means that every other world, such as career, family, or whatever they may be, they are all temporary. They are all untrue. And God, his Father, who is referred to as a gardener here, is the head of this family and this world. And the passage says that God prunes each one of us, to be even more fruitful. So we all want to be fruitful, right? We all want to be fruitful in this world, in our surroundings, and among people around us. And the Bible says that we cannot be fruitful, we cannot be a fruitful vine unless we remain, fruitful branch, unless we remain in the vine which is God, God's family itself. So let's just jump into why is it that we are not able to make time for God. So this is one of the songs that I sang to my wife, Roshni, before we got married. This is by Jim Croce. It goes like, if I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. So when I sang this for the first time, Roshni started crying. And this is what a lot of our hearts mean when something takes the most important place in our heart, in our deepest corner, in the deepest area of our heart. And I'm sure all of us have fallen in love once at least. If not fallen in love, at least would have had a crush on someone. And I imagine you would sing something similar, or you would say something similar, feel something similar when you would think about that person, when you initially fall in love with that person. So when we're in love, we'd want to spend all the time that we have with that one person. When I fell in love with Roshni, I remember I used to talk to her on WhatsApp all the time. I mean, I used to talk to her at work. I used to talk to her when I'm in with my friends. While I was in a movie, I got distracted and I started messaging her. And when I'm at church, when I would talk to her all the way till 3 in the morning. And again, I would talk to her after waking up. And my fingers used to pain. I mean, it used to hurt after talking all the time, but still, that would not stop me. So when we are in love, we want to spend all the time with that person, all the time that we have. And we want to do many things with them. We want to go out for meals. We want to go out for movies. We want to go out for gigs. Everything that we love, everything that we enjoy, we want to do with that person. But why do we struggle spending time with God with this kind of intimacy and intensity? So when we're in love, second thing that we do is we share everything that we have, we are with this person. We would talk to them about our fears. We would talk to them about our ambitions. We would talk to them about things that trouble us. We would talk to them about things that make us happy. We would talk to them about everything that we value and everything that we don't. But we really struggle to share ourselves, our emotions, our feelings with God in a similar manner. Third thing that we do is we want to know everything about this person. I mean, I remember when I fell in love with Roshni, I used to go through her Facebook post like all the time. And I used to go through every picture that she had put up from the time she joined Facebook. And I used to go to the same pictures over and over and over again. I used to find out who her friends were. I used to find out more about their friends, her friends. And we want to know everything. I mean, when we fall in love, we want to know everything about that person. And we want to know about what they like, what they don't like. At times, we find out what they like and we try to fall in love with the same thing also. Or just for the sake of talking to this person. And I did too. So we want to know about what they like, what they don't like. We want to know about what their views are. We want to know about what their views are on politics. We want to know what their views are on religion. We want to know everything about their past. And we dig and dig and dig for so much information. We want to know everything about their future plans and make them our plans. But when it comes to God, we barely do much to discover who God is. Discover who God is and His holiness and everything about Him. We barely go to this kind of excitement and this level of intimacy when it comes to knowing God. So this is something that we do. I took this example about our first love, someone that we love. But it's not just this one person that we love. It's about something that captures our heart's most attention, or biggest attention. And this is some of the things that we do with this, with what we find, with what we love. So, well, it's not just the, like I said, it's not just the person that we fall in love in, love with. My wife was, my first love before marriage and even today. But today I love career. I love money. I love things that money can buy. I love buying a house. I'm thinking about buying a house all the time. I'm thinking about buying a car all the time. I think I love other things that money can buy, food, vacations. I love recognition at work and a place like this. I love comfort. I love fitness. And all these things from time to time take the first place in our hearts. And I mean, there was a season where I used to love music. We had an a cappella band at work. At work, I'm researching about songs. I'm researching about things to do with this a cappella group. Go back, practice with them all the way till 4 or 5 in the morning. That was the most important thing for my life, and everything else was secondary. I never used to go home for those 2 weeks, 3 weeks. My parents were really pissed off then. I mean, this is where we make these different things first love in our hearts. And but when it comes to God, we struggle to make Him the first love that we give to all these different things in different phases of our lives. So another common struggle that we have is pride, which is why we don't want to depend on God, which is one of the reasons why we don't want to depend on God. Instead of spending time with God and resting in Him, we find rest on our own by our own strength and wisdom. And we feel that we can steer our lives comfortably ourselves and that we don't need a savior. This is one of the personal struggles I've had, which is what stops me or limits my time with God. And our strength, our wisdom, our capability becomes our idol. So there is nothing wrong in these idols by itself. But there is something very wrong with making them our first love. Making them our first love above God and making these idols something that we worship all the time. We remove God from His rightful place as our first love and replace Him with these all small little idols. So this one verse in the book of Exodus in the Bible reads, "For you shall worship no other God, for the God whose name is jealous is a jealous God." So this is the God we're talking about here. This is the God who loves us. This is the God who thinks about all the time. And this God is a jealous God. And he wants our time. He wants our attention. And he wants us to place Him as our first love. And since God is a jealous God and we are sinning against Him when we place these idols over and above Him. And we are in a way cheating against God when we place these idols over Him. We deserve God's wrath and His punishment when we do this. Because of this and many other sins, our selfish heart does. And more so, these sins are sinful, or what we do is a sin, because these are benchmarked against God's very high standards of holiness and perfection. And because of this, we deserve to be cut off from God's kingdom, like these branches that we just read in God's vineyard. Just like that, we deserve to be cut off. But the good news is that we do get to stay in this vineyard and in God's world. Not because of our own effort in taking our time for God, or in our own effort, we can never place God as our first love in our hearts. But we are part of this vineyard and God's family because God, the gardener, chose to cut off Jesus, who was the most important and the most beautiful vine in the vineyard, on our behalf. A gardener literally spends all his time in the morning, during the day, and at night looking after his field. So I work in an industry where we sell solar lights for consumers who don't have electricity. And we sell these lamps to a lot of farmers who don't have electricity. And we see that these farmers are toiling day and night looking after what they're cultivating. And that is their only source of income. And they spend all that they have, all the energy. They put the vineyard, or they put that farm as the first love in their hearts. God loved His Son immensely. Jesus was perfect and sinless in every other way. And Jesus was the first love in God's heart. But we who deserved God's wrath in God's just kingdom could have been forgiven only with an expensive sacrifice. In his love, God chose to punish Jesus, who was his first love, on the cross, so that he could make us his first love. And God called us his first love by giving away Jesus on the cross, removing him from his vineyard so that we could be a fruitful part, fruitful branch in his vineyard. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 in the Bible reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. So how can I remind my forgetful self of this sacrificial love unless I spend time with God? How can I remind myself of His majesty, His holiness? How can I remind myself of my sin, of how I place every other thing as my first love in my heart, unless I spend time with God? How can I see His grace and His mercy and God's purposes for my life unless I spend time with God?" So just like how we saw in the song lyrics that I showed you, we put all these different things that we have as our first love with the same amount of dedication, with the same amount of passion and excitement. And the first loves that we worship is temporary. They will elate us. They will keep us happy today, but crush us and bring us into depression tomorrow. So some of us are struggling to be at peace, struggling to be joyful. Some of us here are tired. Some of us here are lonely. Some of us here have been waiting. Some of us here are bored. Because we put our hope and make all these things our first love. And God is waiting and waiting and waiting for us to call Him His first love. For us to place Him as the first love in our deepest heart. And it's like this innermost room that we give to one of these different things that we put our hope on. So I put my work, I put money and my sins in my innermost room in my heart. And I don't let God take that place. We all have these different things that we place in our innermost heart. But like all of these things are temporary and they will give up on us. So God is waiting to have us spend time with Him. Just like how we do with this other things that I spoke about. God is waiting for us to share our everything with Him. God is waiting for us to discover Him every day. We can never do this without intentionally spending time with God. A lot of us also have doubts about God. A lot of us struggle to trust in Him. It's because we haven't fully discovered His grace, fully discovered His mercy. And we can't do this unless we intentionally spend time with God. And without which we'll always be empty. We'll wake up every morning to hold on to a temporary joy that we would find, which will fade away after some time. So there are, these struggles that I spoke about earlier today, some of us struggle with just spending time, taking our time with God. Some of us take our time but struggle with making God our first love. Just keep that as a box that we put a tick on. But let me take a few minutes just on how Jesus spent time with God in different circumstances. So this is Mark chapter 1 verse 35, which talks about how very early in the morning, while it was dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So this was around the time where Jesus was healing people left, right, and center. And this was where he was preaching the word of God. And he was very popular. People were crowding wherever he was, wherever he was staying, wherever he was going. But instead of serving all this popularity, he took time out intentionally. He found it more important to spend time with God over and above everything else. He found it more important to depend on God. This other passage, this was a day before Jesus was crucified. And Jesus was crucified for our sins. And if I would have been at his place, I would have been really angry. He was this pure, beautiful, holy vine in the vineyard, but he was crucified. He was being destroyed by God so that we would be healed, we would be forgiven and be a part of that vineyard. And this is when, a day before, the passage reads, Jesus and his disciples, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." At a time when Jesus was depressed, at a time when Jesus was sad for being chosen to be destroyed by his own father, Jesus wanted to spend time with God. He wanted to submit to his will, God's will, or whatever that was. And we'll never have a better example to follow. So I'd encourage all of us to fearly guard with vengeance our time with God. I would encourage and ask each one of us to fiercely guard our place for God in our hearts as our first love. And our busy schedule or our tiredness is not an excuse. So I read this on a blog some time ago. There are different ways to do quiet time or spend time with God, but they all essentially come down to three elements of time, scripture, and prayer. God talks to us through his scripture. We all want to, with our first loves, we spend a lot of time to know so much about this person we love, the thing that we love. God talks to us through his scripture. And we talk to God through prayer. We want to talk to our first loves. I am thinking about my work at all the time. When I'm sleeping, when I'm waking up, the first thing I check is my emails and even respond to them at orders. That's because that is my first love. And if God is our first love, we would talk to him with prayer at all times. And we need to spend as much time on these two as required to know that our hearts have placed God as our first love. To be honest, by the grace of God, we are very fortunate at New City to have a community that is focused on God, community that is centered on God. And we have tools such as CBR, City Bible Reading, which Anand mentioned, where we all together as a community read the same passage to keep track with spending time with God. So I have a few other suggestions before I close to help us with this journey. One is we find a consistent time slot every day where we are fully alert and free of distractions. We can plan this in advance. For example, if you want to spend time with God early in the morning, we can go to bed early. If you're tempted to check email while spending time with God, you can turn off your devices. If you find yourself preoccupied with the day ahead, you could keep down notes to put the to-do list separately when you're spending time with God. Second suggestion is we could maybe put ourselves in a group of two or three people that you are comfortable with, where you can be accountable to each other on spending this time with God. If you spend time with God, you can update this other person. If you're not able to spend time with God, still update this other person. I struggle with spending time with God, and I'd love to be a part of this group with any two people here. So some of us, as an immediate response, response to this talk, may go back and spend time with God for a day or a week. But like I said earlier, I'd encourage you to fiercely guard your time with God. I'd encourage you to fiercely guard God's place in your heart as his